Good morning again. We're getting closer to afternoon as time goes on. As mentioned, my name is Donna Gersley, and I'm here to present our findings from the Staten Island Breast Cancer Research Initiative. We're looking at small area demography, neighborhoods, length of residence on Staten Island, puberty, occupation, number of children, socioeconomic factors, and mortality risk with respect to environmental justice. I have no relationships to disclose. This talk is about women and the potential consequences of their exposure to environmental contaminants as they go through puberty. During this presentation, we're going to look at a couple of things. The first is background and demographics of Staten Island and its residents, the goals of the Staten Island Breast Cancer Research Initiative, existing breast cancer data, our study and findings, and future work of the Staten Island Breast Cancer Research Initiative. Staten Island is an island community and my home for as old as I am. And one of the five boroughs of New York City. The other boroughs are Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, and Manhattan. It's home to nearly 500,000 people, and it has an area of approximately 59 square miles. If we look at an economic profile of Staten Island in comparison to New York City, we can see that the median income of Staten Islanders is about $65,000 a year, the second highest median income in New York City, whereas Manhattan is first. If we take a look at an educational profile of Staten Islanders as compared to New York City, 87% of individuals living on Staten Island are high school graduates, and it's the highest graduation rate among the five boroughs. An examination of population distribution by race shows that Staten Islanders are over 70% white, 12% Hispanic, and 9% black. Finally, as this graph illustrates, Staten Islanders, as compared to the other boroughs of New York City, have excellent access to medical care, and over 60% of the population has private health insurance, with over 98% of the population having any kind of medical insurance. On the other hand, what Staten Islanders have is access to numerous contamination sites. As this map displays, historically, Staten Island has been downwind from the largest New Jersey petrochemical industry. It is home to 14 active or inactive Superfund sites, including but not limited to the Brookfield Toxic Waste Landfill and the Richmond Terrace site that contains radioactive waste. We have 16 solid waste facilities, some of which are included in those Superfund sites. We have 3 regulated sewage treatment plants, 2 petroleum storage sites, 3 active shipyards, 16 chemical bulk storage facilities, 4 power plants, 6 brownfield opportunity assistance sites, with 4 waiting for remediation, and for more than 50 years has harbored the largest open dump on the planet, the Freshkills Landfill. Where Staten Island, when I grew up, used to be known as the place where you took a nickel ferry to get to Manhattan, it's now the place you dump your garbage. But what Staten Island does have is the highest breast cancer death rate in New York City. One of the problems that has been a long-time concern for Staten Islanders has been high cancer rates. In 2011, the New York State Department of Health, through their state cancer registries, reported that Staten Island has the highest average breast cancer death rate among the five boroughs since 1976. However, other than basic hospital clinical studies and passive surveillance efforts, the female breast cancer death rates on Staten Island have not been a concern for researchers to investigate causative factors, and therefore these high rates remain, to date, relatively unexamined. So the purpose of our study is to identify the causative factors for the high female breast cancer mortality rate on Staten Island. We at the Center for Environmental Science at the College of Staten Island conduct research on a wide range of multidisciplinary and environmental issues. We serve as both a university and community focus for scientific, educational, and legal solutions to environmental problems. An outgrowth of this research is the formulation of the Staten Island Breast Cancer Research Initiative. We're a multidisciplinary group, as you could see from our many authors on the first slide. We are a multidisciplinary group aimed at making a positive impact on female breast cancer incidence and mortality. We have three parts. The first part is ongoing analysis of 1980 through 2006 data that has been provided for us by the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and this is for both cases and controls. Secondly, our team of cellular and molecular biologists are conducting research by assaying environmental effects on breast tumor cell lines. And finally, we have initiated a breast cancer educational outreach program targeting women throughout the community. Now, our breast cancer health educators deliver brief, informative presentations, including proper self-breast examination, reducing risk through lifestyle modifications and awareness, as well as community engagement activities. And some of the arenas where our health educators have attended are community centers, colleges and universities, high school, nursing home, elder care facilities, outpatient and clinical centers, and civil service groups. As a preliminary investigation, our team revealed that Staten Island has a higher age-adjusted female breast cancer rate for both incidence and mortality when compared to the United States and New York State, according to the National State Cancer Profiles. Staten Island also has the highest female age-adjusted breast cancer mortality rate among the five boroughs of New York City and is second only to Manhattan for female breast cancer incidence. The question that we asked ourselves is, why us? Why Staten Island females? So in order to answer this question, we initiated a large case control study where we looked at race, ethnicity, socioeconomic variables, education, lifestyle behaviors, and environmental exposures. For the current study that we're talking about today, death certificate data were obtained for the calendar years 1980 through 1990 from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene for females who died on Staten Island. We've completed the analysis for 1980 through 1990, and we will be reporting these results here. Cases were female individuals where breast cancer was the primary cause of death, and controls were female individuals who died from causes other than malignant neoplasms. We needed to obtain life history information in the most cost-effective, efficient manner, as we all need to do, everyone in public health. So Staten Island has a daily newspaper, both online and in print, called the Staten Island Advance. And although the Advance reports both national and local news, a fundamental component of the newspaper for community members is the obituaries. Having this valuable information, our team developed and validated life history profile from a combination of local newspaper obituaries and death certificates. So this is what happens. Highly trained reporters from the Advance call family members of the deceased within 48 hours of the individual's death. Obituary interviews are based on a pre-established systematic questionnaire that has remained in place for years. We obtained life history information for 86.6% for the cases and controls provided for us by the health department. So let me take you through a brief walk through of what a Staten Island Advance obituary looks like. Lady, a female, 63, lifelong Staten Islander. Mrs. Female, we have marital status. 63, we have the age of the decedent. of Port Richmond, we have the neighborhood place of death. A lifelong Staten Islander, we have the number of years she lived on Staten Island, died yesterday, her date of death, after a long illness in Staten Island University Hospital, Princess Bay. Born in West Brighton, she moved to Port Richmond in 2007. We have her residential history. Mrs. Female was an aide at the former Willowbrook State School for about 10 years and later worked as an aide at South Beach Psychiatric Center for about 20 years until retiring in 2007. We have an occupational history. She was a graduate of McKee High School, an educational measure. She was a parishioner of Our Lady Mount Carmel, St. Benedict Roman Catholic Church in West Brighton. We have her religion. And surviving are her son, Theodore, three daughters, Lenore, Bonnie, and Marissa. We have the number of children. So if we look at the five categories above the line, we have data from two independent sources. This enabled us to establish the reliability of identification. So from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, plus the Staten Island Advance, we have sex, marital status, age, date of death, and education. From the New York City Department of Health, we obtained the independent variables of date of birth, place of birth, ethnicity, census tract, zip code, country of origin, and rounded street address. And from the Staten Island Advance, we obtained the independent variables of religion, residential history, occupational history, and number of children. Over the past number of years, scientists at the Center for Environmental Science have analyzed these data in many ways. Preliminary analysis using logistic regression demonstrated a statistically significant increase in risk for breast cancer death associated with spending puberty years, ages 9 through 19, on Staten Island. Our main result is women who resided on Staten Island during their puberty years are 3.3 times more likely to die of breast cancer as compared to women that did not spend their puberty years on Staten Island. The 95% confidence interval here is 2.6 to 4.1. So in addition to identifying causative factors for breast cancer, this study has also identified an at-risk population that we feel deserves environmental justice. We also have significant results for length of residence on Staten Island that it may be a proxy of spending puberty years on Staten Island. The longer your residence on Staten Island, the more likely that you've spent your puberty years there. We also have significant results for occupation and number of children, and both of these deserve further study. If we look briefly at intra-island differences, we divided up the island into three community boards based on the neighborhood information we collected from the Staten Island Advance. And preliminary analysis indicate here that Community Board 2, with an odds ratio of 1.6, appears to be of interest, specifically because that's the location of the Fresh Kills landfill. However, we need to investigate this further, incorporating the additional 16 years of data that we have. The future work of the Staten Island Breast Cancer Research Initiative includes analysis of the full data set from 1980 through 2006 from a combination of New York City Department of Health data, death certificate data, and life histories from the Staten Island Advance obituaries. We will also be continuing research regarding the biochemistry of breast tumors. And finally, we will be formulating an educational outreach program specifically targeting young women in the Staten Island community. In summation, women who have gone through puberty on Staten Island are 3.3 times more likely to die of breast cancer as compared to women who did not spend their puberty years on Staten Island. And young women exposed to environmental hazards during their puberty years constitute an at-risk population deserving environmental justice, and we believe that researchers throughout the world should begin to examine the risks specific to this population. This study was supported by a special legislative grant from both New York State and New York City. The grants were sponsored by Senator Andrew Lanza, New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, New York City Councilman James Otto, New York City Councilman Vincent Ignizio, and New York City Councilwoman Deborah Rose. This study was supported in large part by the Brooklyn Home for Aged Men. And we would like to send a special thanks, especially to the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene that have been an invaluable resource for us. But a special thanks goes to Speaker Christine Quinn and New York City Council Member James Otto for recognizing the need for the study and saying that Staten Island is not the forgotten borough. Thank you.